This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are just finishing breakfast and actually running a little bit late. Chris Capehart's lecture just started a few moments ago, but I'm going to be heading over there. But before we do, I thought I would introduce you to a new friend of mine, Bobby Lilly, who is here at the convention. Hello, Bobby.
Good morning. How are you, Scott?
I'm nothing less than fantastic. And you have driven over or flown over from where?
Drove down from Giles County, Virginia. It's about 3.5 hours.
Oh, that's reasonable. Yeah, okay. And how many of these have you attended?
First one was in around 1980 or 81.
Wow.
And so didn't miss one for 15 years. So I've probably done 20 plus, maybe almost half of them.
That's quite a few. And what is it that keeps making you come back?
Definitely the people. I started coming when I was 14. And some of my earliest friends in Magic, Scott Robinson, Eddie Wade, we missed George Kimmery.
Yeah.
First time I met Paul Diamond. So many of those memories and friendships go back to this event.
So I guess this, to you, is kind of like a TALM is to me, because the Texas Association of Magicians is nearby. It's a regional thing, and so this was kind of like your regional convention.
Exactly.
Yeah. So were there other conventions you were going to also, or is this the one and only that you typically do?
Well, when we started attending conventions, I was too young to be a member of the IBM. My dad had to learn a couple of tricks in order to be able to join the club so I could go to the meetings.
Funny.
So we would turn these into family vacations. Mm-hmm. And so we'd come to Gatlinburg to the Winter Carnival every year, and then we would do either IBM or SAM and go out a few days early, do some sightseeing, be tourists. My sister would tag along. I thought it was the perfect blend of magic and family vacation. She thought the perfect blend would have no magic, but she was patient. And she made friends at this convention, too. She got to be friends with Bill Spooner's daughter, Courtney.
Uh-huh.
And so after they got tired of the magic, they'd come down and run around Gatlinburg, go into the Ripley's attractions and all that stuff.
That's the nice thing about both Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. As Pigeon Forge had grown, it wasn't anything but a little town way back at the time, but there are enough things to do for the families to make this a family vacation.
Exactly, and my parents...
It's a destination.
That's exactly right, and my parents would become friends with the parents of other kids my age, and so they would also enjoy coming down and finding things to do together while they left the kids to go to the convention.
Now, they've almost been equally divided. It seems like from the beginning at 75 up until about 2003, they were in Gatlinburg and then moved here to Pigeon Forge. And so you kind of had a little bit of a taste of both. And rather than being, I guess, melancholy and thinking about, you know, the good old days or whatever, do you like one over the other?
I do miss having the ability to walk from the Civic Auditorium to lots of other attractions and lots of other restaurants. Mm-hmm. But I think the Country Tonight Theater has certainly given us the space to have time to sit down at a table and visit with old friends, which is what made this convention special from the very beginning.
And speaking of special, my question would be, over the number of years, has there been something that has stood out as far as an act, a lecture, a person, or something?
Oh,
that's...
Oh, so many. If I had to pick...
Well, you can rattle off a few.
Cole and Company was
a
favorite. They came through many, many times. Mm-hmm. There was a night that Tommy Wonder just destroyed the place with his stage act. Mm-hmm. I remember Giovanni doing the shell game over and over and over in the lounge one night, just refining some techniques and talking about some subtleties and some psychology that never seen in print anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Thompson holding court for several hours up until the middle of the night in the old hospitality suite. And then I think of the folks who came through the contest for years, some perpetual contestants each year who would come back time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was like a family reunion.
And some of the people who I'm sure had won some contests, or maybe not, but at least had placed in the contest, that moved on to being professionals.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then, I think you did an interview at one point, didn't you, with Ricky Boone?
I don't think I talked with Ricky. Was a friend, and I may have spoken with him, and I'm trying to think of the other gentleman who was his best friend. They hung out together.
Maybe spoke about. I know some folks have talked about him
and for sure.
The incredible.
Yeah.
Ricky was a fixture here. Tom Moore was here a few times. There were a lot of Virginia Tech students who came through our Ring 222 in Roanoke who came down here. Mark Leffler, Paul Sorrentino was a professor at Tech, retired now. Paul brought me down, encouraged Mom and Dad to bring me down to my first convention here. Mm-hmm. So I just think back to those informal mentors that were a huge part of my early Magic career and really brought us to conventions and encouraged us to just take time to sit down and get to know what great people these folks were outside of their interests and outside of the latest card techniques, just to sit down, have a meal, visit, and get to know each other on a personal level.
And that you've probably seen the dealers grow also, and also grow with some technology and different kinds of things that they have now that they didn't have before.
Oh, sure. So, in the old days, Paul Diamond was always here, was at the far end of the room. Al Cohen was often here. Bob Little, Howie Schwartzman would come down, and then lots of other local small mom-and-pop shops, little local brick-and-mortar places. But we didn't have any of the sophisticated gadgetry.
Of course.
George Kemmery always had some large-scale illusions that everybody would look at and drool. And it really shaped our, and I say our as far as the kids, the teenagers who were coming to the convention, it really shaped our idea and image of what professional magic, quality magic, could and should look like.
Right, right. Well, this has a long tradition of excellent magic, certainly, and of having some top magicians who have come. All the greats and not-so-greats have been here, it seems like, over the last 50 years, you know. So.
Absolutely, and it's always interesting how some of them keep coming back. Sometimes they'll be booked to perform, and then they may show up a couple years later just as an attendee because they had such a great time, and the hospitality from the local ring was tremendous.
Right, right. It is a friendly one, and I've always enjoyed, you know, coming back. I don't come back on a regular basis, more of an irregular. I might skip 10 years and then go, you know, a couple of years in a row and then
we're
skip
all irregular.
Again. That's right. You know, as we get older, you know, that's the way it is. Exactly. Bobby, thanks very much. I appreciate
thanks,
you giving me some of your reflections. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Bobby Lilly. Scotty out. So, I am here again. We've come over from the hotel and just was watching Chris Capehart's wonderful lecture and happened to have run into a longtime friend of mine and yours and is a dealer, performer, lecturer, and owned a... do you still own the magic shop?
Yeah,
or the costume shop?
Closing this year.
Okay.
We're going to continue doing our manufacturing, which we have about 700 items.
Anthony Girard. Yes. Here he is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy. The shop's been open this December, 51 years.
Wow.
And I started it. I decided it's time to close the shop because I can't get out to do lectures, shows. I was asked to lecture at the Magic Circle 3 years ago, and I have not been able
to... You still haven't been over.
No, no.
Wow.
So I'm finally this year, we're going to be closing the brick-and-mortar aspect of the shop. We'll be open by appointment this year, and then after that, I'm going to focus on my lectures, shows, conventions, and so forth, something that I have a lot more fun with.
You create so much stuff, and I don't think that the magic community appreciates fully the types of things that you are always working on and always doing, and books you're writing and moves that you do. And Anthony is just amazing. I'm thankful to have him as a friend that I've known for so many years. How many years have you been going to 4F, by the way?
Would have been 92, I think, was my first year.
Okay.
You know, so I missed the first ones because I was too busy working.
Right.
I didn't have time to do shows or lectures, conventions.
Hey, where's your magic shop? What's the town center?
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay.
And it's directly between Detroit and Chicago, like 165, 165 from the other. So, but yeah, I actually talked about the items. We now have just over 700 different items that I've created that we have in the market.
Now, see, that's what I'm talking about, folks. 700 items that are all original stuff.
Yeah. Now, a lot of it is not magic. You know, I'm a sculptor. So I make mascots and masks. I've done projects for The Big Bang Theory, the soap opera The Young and the Restless, NCIS Los Angeles, Bitchin' Kitchen, Cartoon, and hundreds of other TV shows.
Did they find you or do you find them?
They contact me. And I get some really strange requests. Now, this is something you wouldn't normally think would come from the soap opera The Young and the Restless.
No.
I'm working in my shop, and one of my employees said, Tony, there's a phone call you need to take. I'm with three customers. I said, ask them to call back. I'm a little busy right now. He said, well, they said it's the soap opera The Young and the Restless. I turned to the customers, let me take this call. I answer the phone, yeah, hello, this is Nancy DeGerard. What can I help you with? They said, yes, this is the soap opera The Young and the Restless. We need a giant, talking, bloody, bank-robbing squirrel. And I said, I pretty much said the same thing. I said, come on, who is this really?
Yeah.
They said, this is the soap opera The Young and the Restless. And what do you need? A giant, talking, bloody, bank-robbing squirrel. I said, is this you, Doug? And they said, no, this is the soap opera The Young and the Restless. And I said, and you need a giant, talking, bloody, bank-robbing squirrel? They said, yes, I could do that. And yeah. It used, I think, on three episodes. It developed its own cult following.
Really?
Yeah. So
did it have its own name and everything?
Oh, yeah. They named it and everything. And it's so a lot of times I just...
Can you imagine them in the writer's room of coming up with
yes.
this idea?
Yeah, whose idea is this? I don't think he works there anymore. and that's not even the strangest one that I've got.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Cartoon Network. They needed a pizza-delivering skydiving fish. Where do you go to get a pizza delivering? That would be me.
This sounds like AI stuff now. You know?
No, I don't do any stereolithography, the 3D printing. Yeah. I don't do anything on AI. I take a bucket full of chunks of clay, and I start putting it together until I have what's in my mind's eye. I've always been old school.
Yeah.
I don't learn off of DVDs. I pick up a book, and I turn the page.
Well, that's all I'm saying is that it used to be that was the way it was done, the only way it could be done. But now I see these things like, for example, they're so clever that David Riegel posts on Facebook that are just funny memes of some sort that he just throws something out on ChatGPT, I guess, or something, and creates this funny cartoon of a cow doing magic on the moon or something type of a thing, you know, that you can do. But
that to me, I've always been the artist first. And I tell people jokingly, well, it's actually more true than not, my Valhalla, my heaven, is everybody shuts up and I play with my clay and see what is created.
Yeah.
I've never been, and I don't think I'll ever go to the 3D printing or the AI. I want to use what's in my head.
Now, as you say, you've been coming here to the Magi Fest for a long time, but being...
Winter Carnival.
Where are we?
they kind
Carnival,
of blend together a lot.
Between you and me, that's true. But I was about to say, because of Colon, how close you are then to the World Magic Capital there, you've been going then, of course, to Abbott's forever, probably, too.
Since 1969.
Yeah, a little bit longer than you have here to Winter Carnival. Yeah.
I think this is my either 15th or 18th, but I think they had one or two during the pandemic that they didn't have.
Now, because these do tend to run together, are there some particular memories that you know specifically from the Winter Carnival that you can remember over the years that might come to mind that is a lecture, a person, or a thing, or happening? Or?
Well, not so much a thing, but something that happened during one of the break times. Laura and I are both antique collectors.
Yep, I know.
And so we'll go to flea markets.
And estates. Also you go to oldest bars in the States, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, well, we can talk about that shortly. So we collect antiques, and we're at a flea market, here in Pigeon Forge. I'm in one booth looking at an old W.C. Fields book. Laura's in the next aisle, and I hear from the other aisle, Tony, get over here. I'm not sure what's wrong. I come running around the corner. She's standing just staring towards the back of a booth. And I'm like, are you okay? What's the matter? And she didn't say a word. She just kept staring to the back of the booth. I stared back at the back of the booth, and there on the shelf, fine condition, original frame, of Vernon Silhouette.
No way.
I kid you not. Right there. And I walked over and I picked it up.
$15. Okay. Wow.
I asked, do you have any more of these? They didn't.
Well, how did you know it was a Vernon Silhouette?
How did Laura know?
Yeah.
I have four others in my collection. She recognized it from 15 feet away. But how many other magicians were here in town that weekend, probably going to antique malls and so forth, that walked right past, and it took the wife of a magician to see that Vernon Silhouette sitting there?
Wow.
And it's still in my collection.
Now, if you were trying to find one on eBay, you couldn't find it on Amazon, but or some other magic auction site or something, what have they gone for? Like $300 or so?
As little as like $200, but as much as in the way past the $1,000 range, yeah. Probably even into the two to even three. Mm-hmm. Who was it? I saw one recently on the Potter and Potter that was a famous magician, mm-hmm. but I can't recall who it was, but it went way up there.
It seems like that it famously had said something. What was it? Someone asked if he would cut their silhouette, and he was saying something about, I cut them. You don't ask me to cut them. It's because I want to do it. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think when he worked on the boardwalk, I think it was more job. People came to him.
It's true. But in later life,
I think he was more, he didn't do requests.
Yeah.
He did what was in his heart.
You know, exactly.
His passion. Because besides magic and, of course, gambling, the silhouette cutting was definitely one of his passions. And I've got a lot of stuff from the professor. I actually took a couple private sessions with him way back in the magic seminar days.
Right.
I think it was more of a passion for him. And
so as far as being a dealer here, how many years have you been a dealer? I mean, like every time you come, are you a dealer?
In the past, they would not have a dealer 2 years in a row.
Hmm.
Because they want to mix things up.
Sure, I understand.
But each year, I bring new creations, new things along with me.
Yeah. Kind of like Aldo Colombini used to
do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here I am with almost like a new booth full of stuff. So I became one of the dealers that they would call back. In fact, last year I was the opening day lecturer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you made it to the lecture or not, or if you were here.
I wasn't here last year. I was here the year before, but not last year.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So, mm-hmm. And this, very similar to Abbott's and 4F, it's a family.
It really is.
It's not a convention.
No,
it's a family.
It's a gathering of friends.
Friends, yeah, exactly. And that's why those are three conventions that I would not miss. I think Abbott's I had to miss 1 year because I was on tour in Europe. Winter Carnival, only because of the pandemic. 4F, I did miss one, but I was there for the last day. That's when I broke my arm in seven places.
Mm-hmm.
So
good place to hide cards.
Yeah, that's true. and I actually, I swear to God, this is true. I asked my surgeon, could you mount a magnet in that metal?
Did you really?
He shook his head and said, no.
I'll only go so far.
But I thought that would have been, who needs an Omega ring?
Yeah.
Definitely would have set up.
You were talking about some people not repeating. Of course, Paul Diamond was a perennial favorite that would come.
I had many fun stories with Paul. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but he always called me Tony Galep.
Tony the what?
Tony Galep.
Galep.
I have no idea what it meant.
Okay.
But, we spent some conventions together. And it's really kind of fun being a dealer at a convention because a lot of the other dealers and so forth start to become more friends than mm-hmm. competitors.
Yeah.
In fact, I knew a couple of the other guys had brought dice stuff along with them. In my back of my car, I've got about 500 dice.
Wow.
And I didn't bring them in because I didn't want to step on toes.
Sure.
You know, at 4F and Monty, I'm now the book dealer because mm-hmm. Andy's not doing it anymore.
Is he retired completely, Andy Greggett?
No. I think a lot of it is he needs to have a buy in a city where he's going. Hmm. Otherwise, it's not going to be as profitable enough.
That's a lot of calling around of all that heavy stuff at his age then, too.
Look at the stuff that I brought to 4F last year. Yeah. I mean, I think I brought about 3,000 books. Now, on the books,
you stick around for money too.
First years that I came to 4F, I didn't even know about money. I would leave the next day, see all the people mulling about.
Yeah.
It was later that I said, I want to be a dealer here as well.
Since you got the stuff there, just go an extra day.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I say, since they're already there, you just kind of go an extra day.
It's the day after 4F, Sunday. What am I going to do? Go home and create some more magic? No, let's have some fun.
Have some fun.
But speaking of creating magic, this is something that I was trying to share with you a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
in the past, we stood on the shoulders of many greats in magic. I still am very humbled when I think of the people whose shoulders I stood on, people that took me under their wing. And they didn't just share their magic, they shared their lives with me. And then people like Stuart James. In fact, you know, I was the youngest person ever invited to the Stuart James Invitational Convention.
Oh, wow.
The next youngest person was 30 years older than me. First day I walk into the room, a couple guys at a table, one goes, "Who was the kid?" He said, "Oh, Stuart invited him." Yeah, we'll see. But also Roger Clowes, Carol Flox, Saidini, Vernon, you know, even Grippo took me under his wings a little bit and shared.
So you've been working on a book about these guys.
Yeah, well, it's not a book about these guys. See, what they did for me, they never charged me a penny. Mm-hmm. They shared themselves and lives with me. And they opened doors for me that I would be too afraid to open myself. I have an unpayable debt that I owe these people.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of how to repay it, and I came up with an idea. 2011 to today, I've done 8 European lecture tours, and now I'm scheduling 2 more. I learned a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things that I didn't understand. I made some costly mistakes, some embarrassing mistakes, some uncomfortable mistakes, things that I wish I would have known. And I decided, and I've been working on it for about 2 years, that I'm going to put it together in a book. And the book is titled, I Wish I Would Have Known. And it is kind of a guidebook to anybody who has aspirations of doing a European lecture tour. Mm-hmm. It will name my promoters, it will name my translators, it will name my the people who manufacture my stuff there in Europe. A lot of U.S. performers don't know how much trouble they can get into by bringing stuff in the country into Europe without claiming it.
Yeah, right.
And they're getting much stricter, especially in Amsterdam and some of the other countries. In fact, if you brought in $10,000 worth of product and you tried to sneak it in, mm-hmm. it's a 200% fine.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Then it's confiscation of all the merchandise and possible jail time. And the hours that they spend taking you away from getting to your next destination, because they don't take your word for it how much the stuff is worth. They go online and try to find realized prices.
Wow.
You're not going anywhere until they're done with you.
And they're not messing around.
No. Yeah. You know, so if you try to sneak it in, you have a lot of problems that could happen. Mm-hmm. If you pay the excise taxes and so forth, the VAT and so forth, you're looking at about 25% on top of the cost of your merchandise. So now you have to raise your prices to equal your mark. You know, so these are all things that a lot of people don't know that I found out by asking questions, even hand gestures. Like the thumbs up here in the States, it's like, hey, great job, right?
But not over there.
In Hungary, it is the middle finger.
Yeah.
The same thing, the peace sign. Peace, hey, peace, yeah. Brother. Reversed in the UK, it is the bird.
Right.
You know, so these are some things that people don't know where they can get themselves into trouble. Even towns. I was on my way to Vienna, Austria. I had 2 lectures there. And the train is pulling into the Wien train station. Now, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm in the wrong. My itinerary shows that I'm on the right train. But I'm pulling into Wien, Austria.
Right.
Where the hell? Do you know where the hell Wien?
No.
It's Vienna.
Oh, it is.
That's how the Austrians write it. And
yeah.
Wien, not Vienna. Where did we in the U.S. come up with this Vienna thing?
Exactly.
I don't know.
So when's the book available? I'm going to start to wrap up here because.
Okay. And let me just tell you one more thing about the book. Like I said, it has all this information that hopefully I will help people not make some of the mistakes that I made. Mm-hmm. And as a thank you for my past mentors, the book is absolutely free.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
There are no strings attached. The only string attached is please don't copy it and try to sell it to people.
Right.
And it's available now, but I still have a couple more read-throughs that I want to go through.
Hard copy or PDF?
No, it's PDF. Yeah.
Okay. So is it download through your website?
So, no, just contact me, and then I'll send you the PDF.
Well, put me on that list.
We'll do.
Yeah.
There's also some amusing stories. And then at the end of the book, I even throw a little bit of all of these nightmare stories that I just shared
with
you. pale in comparison to...
What is your email address so they can contact you to request this?
It's antonygerard@msn.com. And there's no H in the Antony. It's A-N-T-O-N-Y. Yeah. Gerard.
G-E-R-R-A-R-D?
No, G-E-R-A-R-D.
Yeah, just the two R's.
Antony Gerard.
Three.
Yeah.
Yes. Dot com. Great seeing you again, Anthony.
Okay. Always a pleasure, and look forward to seeing you.
See you here. That's right. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Anthony Gerard. Scotty out.
Thank you, Scott.
The person who was the host of last evening's show is a cruise ship magician, worked a lot of places, not only around the world, but across the country. We usually run into each other at conventions, typically over at Magi Fest, and get a chance then to always have dinner together. Except for this year, I didn't make it, but he was a highlight not only as the host, but also performed his own turn in the show last night. Here he is, Matt Stanley. Hello, Matt.
Hey, yes. We're the Magi Feasters, right? Is
That's it.
The Magi Feasters is the official name that we gave.
That's true. I think about you regularly because I use your koozie almost daily. Whenever I'm home and I have a cold drink, that I put that in the Matt Stanley koozie.
Perfect, perfect. I'm glad you get use out of it. That's awesome.
I do. So have you been working for Disney, or what cruise normally when you...
I do Carnival, I do Princess, and I'm on Virgin coming up this year for the first time, so that'll be exciting. It's that's cool. But
are those mainly family type of cruises, or are they geared more towards older adults? Or?
Well, Princess and Carnival are both, you know, family oriented. Virgin is 21 and up, so it's kind of a different... You know,
so do you change your act accordingly?
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely, it's a little more
adult.
Not foul language, that kind of thing. But it's just more, you know, adult oriented, more of like a comedy club style performance than a family.
And you don't do big illusions either.
No, I have, but I got tired of carrying all those big boxes around, man. So,
you ever do doves or handle any live animals on board?
Not on ships, no. But I used to do all the bird act and everything like that. Just traveling with the birds, and then
it'd be such a hassle, I think, in cruising with animals.
Yeah, I mean, I know like David Da Vinci's here, and I know that he has done that before, and I've just seen things he's posted online about all of the... They have to come on board and do inspections, and they have to be done every so often, and you have to have all this paperwork in order and that kind of thing. And, you know, what a hassle. I remember, Amos Levkovich?
Of course.
Yeah, good friend. You know, had the great act, and, you know, all the birds that vanished flew from the back of the audience. So, you know, he had a lot of birds, but he would work cruise ships and take them on. And I heard that at 2 a.m, he'd go up to where the basketball hoops are with all the nets around, and he'd let the birds fly around. So they're outside kind of in like an aviary thing, but it's a, you know... netted off basketball area.
I wonder how he actually travel with that, because I know you have to quarantine them, and sometimes I know some guys will have different birds at different ports, so they've been in quarantine for a while. By the time they get there, they could use those birds, and then when they get to the next place, they drop those birds off to quarantine while they pick up others. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I could see that logistically. What a nightmare, though.
But with Mo Emmis, as I recall, I remember working with him at the Magic Island frequently, and I remember going out to breakfast one morning after the island would close about 2 a.m. And there were several of us who had gone out, and he had his birds in the back of my Suburban. Uh-huh. And we went in, and he must have gone out 3 times to check on them. I mean, they were not just his babies, they were his family, and he was concerned. So it went out and said, can I have the keys to the car? I just want to go and check and make sure they're all okay.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
That's why I was thinking, as far as trying to travel with them, I can't imagine, like what I just said, as far as dropping him off and coming back, I don't think he would ever want to leave them. I mean, they were like his babies, you know.
Right. Yeah, that would be...
A little bit more difficult, to kind of work with. So you've been coming to the Winter Carnival, keep on saying Magi Fest, the Winter Carnival for how many years, you think?
So I haven't been every year,
because you're not even 50.
But I mean, I haven't been every year since I started coming, is what I mean, I guess. Let's rephrase that. But I've probably been to, 15 or, over the years. But I think the first time I came, I was about 12 years old. So,
do you have any particular memory of somebody, something, or something you learned?
Yeah, just not necessarily that, but I really enjoyed it over in Gatlinburg. That was, you know, a big, when it was over there, that was a big...
Better there than here?
Well, I don't know necessarily better. It's just that I think that was my first experience with it,
maybe?
And just the nostalgia of it, you know, was neat. And, I mean, this is obviously a much nicer theater than that environment was. That was more like a kind of a gym, like a gymatorium type, you know, type thing. But whereas this is a legitimate
theater,
you know. But I think it's the nostalgia more than anything. But it's been here. This is 20 years it's been here.
They started here, I think, in 2003.
2003, so, okay, yeah. So,
yes, 22 years. And so they have, it's about half and half, seems like, you know, it was in Gatlinburg and then here. And, yeah, I think that it's great here. I just didn't know if there was somebody or something that you had seen, maybe perhaps in Gatlinburg?
I met people like Oscar Munoz and, you know, people like that have been a big help and influence to me over the years at those initial, you know, conventions and seeing them lecture. And back then I was competing, so I was doing all the contests at all the regional ones, and this is one that I've
forgotten. You used to be in a lot of contests.
I did a lot of them. So
were you entering contests with the intent of wanting to parlay that into saying, look, I'm an award-winning magician and you should be booking me specifically for a market, i.e. the cruise ships, or for a corporate market or trade shows? Or was there something that you... Why did you enter a contest?
I think just more the experience and the exposure kind of thing. At the time...
Exposure to who and for why?
Well, just really to get the more the experience than anything. Because we had, at our home IBM club, we had a lot of... people that's we all had contest acts, and we were regularly doing club shows that everyone was doing their, you know, their contest act, because you have an 8-10 minute
act. And you're from where? You're from
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah. It was Ohio. I couldn't remember which city.
Yeah, so I mean, in my club we had the Reed Sisters, and you know, there just a lot of people, Richard Muna, Larry Taylor, all these people that, you know, we're competing at all these conventions.
Troy Hoosier, wasn't he up in that area?
Troy's Akron, so he's a good distance away. That's kind of the other part of the state.
Okay.
But I know Troy real well. He's definitely an Ohio guy. But yeah, just, you know, I think doing contests gives you a lot of structure and that kind of thing, how to keep your time, how to work with other people.
Right.
And, you know, so I think it's really important.
Was it a fun experience last evening working with the guys in the show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's a fun gang to be with. So it's definitely in good company with all those guys.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, Dan Sperry and Jeff Hobson and you, and then closing with Steve Bargatze. I mean, what a dynamic
and
show.
And Bargatze, this is the first convention he was booked at in, I think they said 96.
Yeah,
it's
been a long time.
And he, the routine he did last night was what he debuted then. And he's still doing it.
Hadn't done it for a while, he said, yeah. So
yeah.
It's not a regular thing for him over there. But
It's funny, I met up with him about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and when he was through town opening for Nate.
Uh-huh.
And he talked to me about some different audio things and that kind of thing. So I got him hooked up with a microphone, mm-hmm. the one that I use, and then, you know, he's using a remote cueing system, an Audio 8.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
And so it was funny though. Last night he's wearing the microphone that I recommended to him, and I didn't. My thought of when I recommended a $900 microphone to him was not that he would be pulling a straitjacket over it and ripping it against it.
Yeah.
I was cringing, you know. I'm like, oh my god, that mic, that's a $900 microphone, and he's just dragging a straitjacket across it. So,
well, as we wrap up, what is it that you're going to be doing from here? Where are you going?
Next week I'm doing Cincy Magic in with Mike Woodward and Sir Patrick in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have in April I'm at the convention in Covington, Kentucky. That's another Darn or another damn magic convention, however you want to say it. So that'll be fun.
ABC, another bloody convention.
Yeah. So that's coming up. Cruises, you know, private stuff.
Good.
Just, yeah, keep them busy.
Well, good luck.
All right.
I
thanks, Scott.
Always look forward to seeing you, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great that's, to see you. All the best to you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Matt Sandley. Scotty out. The Winter Carnival Magic is a lot like Magi Fest from the standpoint there are a lot of past presidents, current presidents of the IBM, SAM, different people from the hoi polloi of the upper echelon of the magic communities are often in attendance. And I've got one with me now who is the current president of the Society of American Magicians, national president, what do you call you, most immaculate? Or
most illustrious.
Most illustrious.
Yeah, I'll take whatever you give
yeah,
me.
Yeah, immaculate. There you go. John Midgley. Hey, John.
Hey. I'm shocked to hear I'm in the upper echelon. That's pretty exciting.
Well, welcome, and I know you haven't been coming to this like every year. I mean, first of all, we've been having it for 50 years, but how many of these have you attended?
Oh, my goodness. So Winter Carnival was the first convention I went to decade plus ago. Mm-hmm. So it kind of feels like my home convention. I try to come every year. I think in the last 12 years, I've only missed two. Mm-hmm. And a couple of those were day passes, but I absolutely love this convention and the people here. And the transformation that has taken place. When I first came here, I didn't talk to a soul. Uh-huh. I was too nervous, too awestruck, concerned how people were going to take me. And then here I am at the 50th one, and I'm hugging everybody and talking to everybody. And they've really, I mean, this community is amazing. And, I just love this convention.
You sometimes have to pinch yourself?
Yeah,
you shouldn't have to. Other people are pinching you anyhow, but I mean, it's that kind of a convention.
Well, to have that gratitude, to take that step back, there are a lot of things I didn't understand. And then to see people like Tom Vorjon and everything that they're doing and Ring 58 and just this doesn't just happen by magic. Hate to spoil it. This is a lot of work and effort, and it really is incredible.
And your convention is going to be in Nashville, so it's going to be here in Tennessee coming up later this year, too, for the SAM.
Oh, yeah. July 4th, folks, come out to Nashville. Let's celebrate. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be honoring Stephen Bargatze, past president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, and last night absolutely killed. Mm-hmm. That was historic. He introduced that act as a contestant back in the 70s, and then we got to see it again on the same
kind of full stage. Circle there. Yeah.
Just amazing.
So that being one of the highlights, over the years that you have been attending, what has been something that stands out in your mind over the last however many years you've been coming?
Oh, a number of things. First thing is the first year I came, I saw Lozander come in the hotel, and I mean, and he had wine and pizza, and he's talking to me like a normal person, and I'm in a shell, and he's like, "Hey, come have some wine and pizza," and I'm like, "Ah, I couldn't even speak." So that stands out in my mind. I guess how nice people are, and I didn't expect that necessarily. So that really resonates with me. But Michael Dodont, the first time I ever – actually, it was the first convention he was ever hired for. Hmm. So Michael from New Orleans performed
here.
He's
going to be on the Penn and Teller Foolish, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah, he is a huge talent. I mean, one of the funniest men I have ever seen. Yeah. And it was here at the Winter Carnival. He was in the middle of a routine, and this would have been like 12 years ago. And in the middle of it, he's palming – well, we're magicians, so so he's got a series of spoons that he's hiding, and all of a sudden the table that he's using completely collapses, and he just holds the pose. There's video of this. He has video of this, and he just poses there, and it just riffs the whole time while people run up and like correct the table, and he's just pointing out the obvious. It was one of the funniest moments I had ever seen, and so that's a huge highlight.
Yeah, a true pro.
Oh, my gosh, just brilliant. Brilliant man.
So has there been anything yet at this convention that – have you been able to get into the dealer's room? I mean, it's just been
– Well, so here's another kind of full circle moment. So Anthony Girard is here, and that's my mentor. I mean, that's the guy – I walked into his magic shop in 99. Mm-hmm. not knowing a thing. And then to be sitting across, so thanks again to the IBM for allowing the SAM to also promote the Nashville a convention that's coming up. So we have a booth right across from my mentor that I've known forever. And so it's just amazing.
It's been just a very busy time so far. The shows have been good. We've only just had, you know, one day of activities here so far, and this has been one of the most attended conventions ever also, because it is the last one, and people know that, and so I think I just want to kind of commemorate the moment, you know, here.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Maybe it'll stir enough interest that someone might get a bug to want to keep this thing going.
Which is kind of what happened with the Magi Fest after Jeff Hostetler and Redcoats had finished it, and then Ron Spangler took it over for a few years, and then it kind of limped along until finally said, no, we're out, and then eventually Josh and Andy picked it up. And,
yeah.
You know,
and now you know what
that
is.
It's a mega convention, yeah. Exactly. Speaking of conventions, and you've been touring as the president, but then you've got a full-time job, then you trying to work in magic as you can. Have you had some good experiences with some conventions that have been really great that you can think of, or been so far in this past year? It's like, hey, this was a highlight in my year so far.
Oh, well, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Chris Capehart's walking past us right now. I'm freaking out, man. So it's just awesome. I think I'm really appreciating or trying to appreciate everything. And one of the things I don't think I recognized when I was younger is everybody that I get to talk to has valuable information. And I need to be open and to listen. And so for me, it's a hard lesson, I guess, when you're younger, too. You just thick-headedness. And so really paying attention. I've seen Chris lecture multiple times, and I saw him this morning. But I was listening in a different way. And there's a lot to be taken there from a pro who's been doing it for forever. So I think that kind of nuance of gratitude is the thing that sticks out in my mind and all the people I get to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, again, you've been in a unique position in order to compare and to travel and see these places and behind the scenes and to be fated where you go to say, hey, you know, welcome to the national president, wherever that you're going to be going. And so you've got a couple more conventions between now and Nashville, or where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to some more. Of course, I would like to go to IBM, and of course, I'll be at the Nashville one. But if people want me to come and hang out, I would love, please reach out to me.
Where can they reach you?
Very accessible. So on social media or john@johnbmidgley.com. That's my email address. Mm-hmm. So I'm also a resident magician at the House of Cards in Nashville. So we are going to be doing some special things at the world-famous House of Cards in Nashville, hidden speakeasy underneath the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville.
It is one of the coolest places. I tell you, if, for those of you who have not been to the House of Cards, you really need to go. I went 6 months after they had opened, and I hadn't been back for a while, and I just went last week with Tom Vorjahan. And, Joey is like a brother to me. The guy is just amazing, and he brings in some great talent. He's not a magician, but he has a passion for magic and a good eye for knowing good magic, too.
100%. And that goes, and he's full of gratitude, too.
That's a good way of putting it.
And,
exactly is.
And he's always, well, and I just did an illustration of Robert Lund, who started the American Museum of Magic. And, there's another guy that wasn't a performer but loved the art so much. We got a museum because of this guy, right? Yeah. So I think it's important to honor those people because those are stewards of the art. So correct. Joey Martinez is very important in the world of magic in my eyes.
Yep, nope, I agree 100%. And there are a lot of people, I was just talking to someone at breakfast this morning who had said that he has been enjoying the podcast so much, he's gone back through the different archives and been listening to people he'd never heard from or about or their names before. And I said, well, I hope you made a new friend. And he said, I absolutely have. And that's kind of what I like to do because everyone has a story.
Yes.
And I am very thankful that I have a lot of friends and that they're willing to tell their story. And it doesn't matter whether it's about cruise ship or school shows or seances or collecting or playing cards or whatever it happens to be. Everyone's got a very interesting background and a story. You know, it's always been said that everyone's got a book in them.
Yeah.
But I always like to try to introduce the listeners, to people perhaps that's like, oh, I haven't heard of this guy, but let's find out something more about him. A lot like what happens on the cover of the MUM or the Linking Ring, for that matter. A lot of times they'll feature someone who is a mover and a shaker in the local community that hasn't been well known outside of their region necessarily, but within that area, they're a rock star as far as making things happen, you know.
Oh, for sure.
So thank you guys for doing that and featuring them.
Well, thank you for also doing that. So here's a funny kind of true story. So there's a number of people I'm meeting, and as a funny kind of joke, I was like, oh, just out of curiosity, you ever been interviewed by Scott Wells on his podcast? And more often than not, people here have been saying yes, and I'm just like, I'm going to go back in the archives. I'm going to learn more about you, and I fully intend on doing that. So the catalog that you have given to the Magic community is outstanding.
It's getting to be exactly true. That's right. And because when I'm at these conventions, I always like to try to get two or three different people that I haven't spoken to. And here, I can give a preview for those who are listening. I have already spoken with Tiffany Savage, and then also I did one with our Paul Wilson.
Yeah.
And those are two who I've known for a long time, and so they've been friends, so it's easy to sit down and chat and to talk with. Hopefully I can get down to chat with David Da Vinci, but I know he's busy as putting together his show for tomorrow night, you know, as the closing act as The Illusionist. But as I look at tomorrow's acts that I'll be hosting, I've had Chris Capehart on, and also, I've had John Archer on. And so, again, as I kind of look around, so, well, we've already talked before. We've talked. And so it's getting harder and harder to find people I haven't talked to.
It's awesome. Yeah. Hey, we're going to have to turn the table. We're going to start a new podcast, and just we're going to interview Scott. That's all we're going to do.
Well, that's why I think at 1,000, I'm going to be out. I'm telling you in advance here right now. I mean, I'm approaching number 900, and that's going to be featuring Dan Sperry.
Yeah.
And you may think, okay, well, that means only about a year from now because of the number of conventions I go to, and I'll have two or three in a row, but not necessarily. It's probably going to be about 3 years before I hit 1,000. But by that time, I'm going to be in my late 70s. I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be a good enough catalog, I think, there for people to go back and help. You can call me a quitter if you want, but at the end, 1,000, I think that'd be a good round number.
I wouldn't call you a quitter at all. That is a substantial amount of work, and I think there's the amazing Barry. I love the amazing Barry. He's got one of my favorite routines of all time. For sure. All right, I'm getting sidetracked. See? Awesome convention. I love this place. I think you run a marathon. One cannot be expected to continue to run a marathon for how many years have you been doing this?
13 so far.
So 13 years you've been running a marathon. That's pretty good. If you need a break in three more years, I think you're allowed.
It's like Forrest Gump. You know, he ran from one coast to the other, and he got to the coast and said, I guess I'll just kind of head back. And
yeah. Like, all right. Time for the next thing.
Run back again. So, but at some point, it's like, okay, I think I'm done.
I totally get it, but maybe you'll want to hand it off.
And
like
well, that's true, and it's not going to be necessarily the end. It's going to be the end of my regular ones. I'm thinking I'll still do some from time to time. If somebody comes to me or I say, you know, this is someone that hasn't been featured, it needs to be highlighted or whatever. But I'm not going to be doing the conventions like I was or am, because I enjoy the conventions, and as I'm getting older, I don't like to necessarily stay up until 4 a.m, you know, trying to put these things together for everyone's edification, you know, and enjoyment. But I'm thankful that I have the ability now, physical ability, to do that, and I know people enjoy it. And thank you very much for being a friend of the Magic Word and for your donations and your patronage and also the beautiful pictures that you draw. I mean, I was so flattered when you had made one of me, and you continue to make of people in our society, in our community. It's you do a great job as well, surprising as always with your wonderful, wonderful art.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, sir.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was the National President of the Society of American Magicians, Mr. John Midgley. This is Scotty out. I was able to make it into the dealer's room. I think it's because everyone's probably out for a lunch break, so the little bit of a bottleneck we had broke free, so I was able to come through, and I ran into a longtime friend, Janie Taylor. Hey there, Janie.
Hi, Scott. Always great to see you.
And you as well, all the way down here from Michigan.
Yeah, northern Michigan. I'm looking at those mountains with snow on it. I should have brought my skis.
So when does your ski season stop, by the way?
First week of April.
Okay, and you're still teaching or as a snow?
I'm probably done for the season.
Okay. Do you teach or are you part of the patrol?
No, I teach.
Okay, there's a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Yeah. 4-year-olds to 70, I've taught.
So, yeah, the patrol actually kind of sweeps the mountain at the end of the evening. Do you ever go and help them with that?
No, but I had to call them once. I needed their help. I had a kid wipe out, twisted her knee.
And had to come down then with the...
Yeah, she got a ride in a gurney. Yeah. And her sisters are like, oh, she's so full of drama. She's probably not hurt that bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a knee.
Right.
She's young. She'll, you know, walk it off.
Right.
So we are in the dealer's room, and you've been coming for a long time, I assume.
Not really. This is only my third year.
Okay. And why did you come back to this one?
Well, because I worked the last one in 2020 before the world shut down.
Yeah.
And then I came back in, 2022?
Did you lecture here in 2020?
I lectured, and I did my manipulation acts.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have to go back and support them after they were the last convention of the year in 2020. Mm-hmm. And since this is the last one, I had to come for this one because the lineup was so great.
Oh, my gosh. It's phenomenal.
I think they blew everything in their checkbook.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to go out.
Exactly. Go out on a high.
Yeah, exactly. So now we are in the dealer's room, and tell me, have you seen anything that attracted you?
Well, I did buy ahead of time from Joe Eddy. He had a pumpkin table. It looks like a stack of pumpkins, kind of like the old Abbott Rabbit table.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more sturdy, though. There's a shelf underneath. Uh-huh. But I lucked out. I didn't realize it's a 2-for-1 table. So the pumpkins kind of Velcro on.
Oh.
And underneath it says, there's reading is fun. It's a reading show, and I have a reading show.
How coincidental.
So that was a bonus surprise from Joe, because I bought his skeleton table. Well, I was supposed to come 2 years ago, 2023, but my mom passed away. Mm-hmm. So Patrick from Pat's Mads brought my skeleton table back for me, and I needed another table, and that pumpkin looks really good next to his skeleton table. It looks pretty for one to the Wacky Witch.
How many characters do you have?
3.
Okay.
Some days I don't know who I am.
Who will I be today?
Yeah, right. It's exactly.
So what have you enjoyed over the last few years of this convention that kind of sticks out? It's like, this is a memory I have that was so fun, and I learned something or saw something.
Well, really, I like it because it's spring down here.
Compared to where you are, exactly.
Yeah, no, we got 3 feet of snow in the front yard still. Yeah. I like the escape.
And you teach skiing still?
Right. Okay. Teach skiing still.
Mm-hmm. So what did you say, 4-year-olds to what?
4-year-olds to 70, I have taught.
Yeah. And the season will go through April to what?
April, first week of April.
And what's the mountain where you skate?
Nubs Knob, Harbor Springs, Michigan.
Okay. Which is pretty far north up there.
It's 35 miles south of the Mackinac Bridge. I'm not in the Upper Peninsula. Everybody thinks I'm in the UP. No, I'm 35 miles into the Lower Peninsula, south.
Okay. From here, your next convention is going to be what?
Michigan Magic Day.
And that's going to be, is that John Cerlini's thing that he's putting on?
No, this is Michigan Magic Day rotates around the state of Michigan.
That's right.
And this year, the Detroit Ring is hosting it. They have a really strong, active ring, and it's going to be a really, really good one-day convention. And they've kind of like stretched it out almost into two. By the night before, it's kind of like the karaoke of magic. Everybody can do a trick. They have a little night before party.
Yeah.
And then Michigan Magic Day. It's just one day, but that's what makes it fun.
And each year they also have someone who is like the guest of honor or gets inducted in the Hall of Fame, being like Harriet Jacobson was. Or...
And I haven't heard anything about that, so don't ask me. I don't know who's on the list. If they're giving the award out, I suppose Chris Harper's in charge of that. He's not the RVP. What are you when you're territorial rep when
Churchill
you're IBM?
Vice President. Yeah. TVP. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I... Remember, Al the Only had gotten that 1 year. I'm trying to think of others. Have you gotten it?
No, I've never gotten it.
Okay.
Boo. Gay's gotten it. June, of course.
By the way, since talking about Michigan, you are also the president or chairman of the...
I'm the chairman of the museum board.
I was just talking with John Midgley, and, you know, he's an artist.
Right.
And he's making one of Bob Lund. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I asked him to do that.
Oh, okay.
Because this year is Bob's 100th birthday.
Oh.
So we're trying to honor Bob. In the past, we've done, like, a commemorative poster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is basically a reproduction of one of the posters off of our wall.
Right.
That's true.
And we thought that it would be good maybe to do something for Bob. And John made two really great prints But now the board is thinking, well, maybe let's look at a photo. And so I don't know if we're going to go, which I don't think we're going to use his image, which is too bad because he did a really great job on it, put a lot of time in it.
Yeah.
But I told him, hey, it's yours. Do whatever you want to with it. And he said, I was happy to help. It doesn't matter. I kind of was I don't want to hurt your feelings, but now the board's changing directions.
Oh, boy.
And because they're thinking of maybe making a true poster, a paper poster.
I understand.
So they thought maybe a photo would be better and might reproduce better.
Huh.
So we'll see. Who knows? But maybe we'll use the image some other time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Now it's done.
Yeah. And John always does just a great
right.
job. Yeah.
And actually, the black and white one was my favorite one, but I like black and white. Nice, good black and white photo with a lot of contrast. I've always liked black and white.
I am the same way. You know, I prefer those kinds of photos. In fact, a lot of pictures I've taken, I will colorize. I'll make them black and white and then have something that stands out. I'll colorize like a red dress a lady has that's in the picture or something,
right.
You know, to make it pop out. But yeah, I love the black, stark black and white
right.
Contrast.
And we have some great black and white photos of Bob. So now we're kind of looking at that. I mean, maybe just adding some graphics to honor his birthday.
Anything else that's happening as I let you go here?
Let's get this out here because next Thursday, March 13th, Michael Claxton is doing his lecture on Del O'Dell. So you can still go and register for that online through the museum website. It's $20 if you're not a member. If you are a member, you get to attend for free. It's going to be a great time. Unfortunately, I can't host it because I got circus tickets.
Okay.
And Del had her own circus, so I'm going to the circus that night.
Okay.
And
yeah. I didn't know that the circus was still touring.
Oh, yeah, we're going to the Royal Hannaford Circus, my dad and I, and a bunch of the Toledo magicians next Thursday night.
It's not under the big top, right?
Nope, it's inside in, like, a sports arena kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Hannaford Circus, put on by the Shriners.
Uh-huh.
It's a three-ring circus. It's a great circus.
Right.
We know Tim Taggy, the ringmaster. He does a great job.
But if you don't go to that, people should be going to the lecture.
That's right. And then after that, coming up in May, we're going to have a panel discussion about Bob to honor his birthday, since his birthday, I think it was May 4th or 5th.
And he would be what, 100?
We're about 100.
Yeah, okay. Wow. All right. Well, Janie, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to see you.
All right. Always a pleasure to see you, too.
And it's the Magic Word Podcast. That was Janie Taylor.
All right.
Scotty out.
Well, shake my hand. I'm giving you a kiss.
Give me a kiss.
I know. I'll put lipstick on you.
Scotty out. We just finished a lecture with John Archer. For that matter, we've just finished a lot of things, I guess, that we have just done here this morning since we had last chatted. And I'm here now with somebody who you need to... It's another reason why you should come to the convention, even if you're going to be coming for the one day for Saturday. And that's because tomorrow we're going to be having an all-star close-up close-up show, and then later is going to be a phenomenal evening show. And I've got with me one of the stars of tomorrow evening's... close-up gala, Mr. Giovanni Lavera. Hey, Gio.
Hey, how are you, Scott? It's actually the close-up's going to be tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Yes. Sir.
It's
yes, going to
be
sir.
Like, what, 2, 3 o'clock, or, you know, 4 o'clock?
Well, I can look at the agenda.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We've got it.
Yeah, what do you know? I mean, you're only going to be in it.
Well, I'm only going to be in it. I'm in the moment here. Let's see here. All right, so it's going to be at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
The jaw-dropping close-up show.
You need to be here for that.
Yes.
I know some people have just come in here today. I've chatted with already, and I know there'll be some more who'll be coming in just on the one day for tomorrow as well. Now, you, the last time that you were here, was it the last time in 93? Or were you?
Gosh, I think I did it one other time, but the first time I was here...
It was with you and me, yeah.
And it was legendary, 93?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, over 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was 24 inches
24.
Of snow
yeah,
in 24 hours.
Yeah.
We were all snowed in.
What I remember was the helicopters... that were, you know, looking around the city, and that was, there we go, right now. I can hear one right there. That was, here, I'll wipe that spit off me. That was CNN helicopters, because they were, the news was showing how the city was snowed in and couldn't
yeah.
go anyplace because there was one road in and out of Gatlinburg.
Right, the airport was shut down. We couldn't get out.
And you couldn't get any food in or out, so what we had was what we had for that period of time.
Yeah.
And
we created a whole fourth day of the convention.
We did.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, who else brought something?
Yeah.
And you had come to begin with stuff planning to do, and I was just talking last evening then with C. Beam, and he was saying, I remember that the one particular trick you were teaching was with the nut on rope
yes.
trick. And so he was doing a thing with a snowball on rope, you know, and the snowball would be between these two other snowballs, and he would pull the rope, and then the snowball in the middle would come off or whatever, as a play on that trick or whatever. But that was a good set of lecture notes. And then also you had won you're one of the only Gold Cup winners.
Yeah, there's less than 10 of us, right?
You're in a very elite group.
91. I was 25 years old back
25.
Then.
25.
Wow. Yeah.
Young, you were so young.
Yeah.
Didn't realize you're that young. You're still a young guy.
Still a young guy. 58 going on 59.
You're still hanging on in Florida, right?
Still in Orlando and... still doing it. Still.
But Florida is your home, but that's really just kind of a base of operations because you kind of travel the world, basically.
Yeah, travel everywhere.
You're still doing talking? Still
doing.
Would you call it motivational speaking, or what do you call it?
Motivational speaking, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Still speaking, still performing, still creating.
Yeah.
You know, and still, you know.
You run into Chef Hyken from time to time?
We're dear friends, and I see him from time to time in the speaking business, and we connect pretty often.
Love that guy. Yeah. And whenever I see him, I say the same thing about you. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, pal. Thanks.
And so when you do get booked, I know you've got an agent, you got a book, and you got a couple books out, I guess. You remember the one that was...
Live 1,000 years, have the time of your life. Yeah. That's my... Yeah, my bestseller, let's say. Yeah, yeah. Live 1,000 years.
And you've sold, I know, thousands of those. And if people want to get a copy of that, which I recommend they do.
Yeah, if you could live 12 times the meaningful moments that the average person lives, then by your 84th birthday, you'll be 1,008 years old. Wow. So it's about measuring your life not by clocks and calendars, but by moments and experiences. Mm-hmm. And have a lot of great ones.
And as magicians, we actually create those moments and experiences as well, you know, for other people to help them live longer lives.
That's right. That's right. Help get the most out of life. Live a life that's most alive. And being, you know, in the astonishment business, we certainly help people to enjoy the ride.
Well, since this is the 50th, what was it that you remember also particularly about that aside from the snow we had back in 93?
Well, you know, Stephen Bargatze and I became dear friends back then. Yeah. That was when I met Stephen. And he shared with me, you know, my penny routine that's become, synonymous with me. Actually, Stephen showed me the method of it. And it was cumbersome for me to add up all of the sides.
Was it all the corners or something?
Yeah, that's it. And I started assigning people jobs, and this routine just started to develop out of that. And so it was 1993 that the germinating seed of that routine started right here at the magic
carnival.
The Winter Carnival of Magic.
There we go.
Boy, it really was a Winter Carnival of Magic back then. The snow was coming.
Yeah, that was true. I remember.
It was so great to be back, and we're having a good time.
We are. What have you enjoyed so far? I mean, we've had one evening show and a couple of lectures.
It's been everything. I'm enjoying the dealers too. Everybody's got some neat things, and the show's been fun, and seeing old friends, it's just been wonderful.
Yeah. Paul Richards and Brent Braun are over here, and a lot of other people. We got, I don't know how many dealers over here, but
yeah, looking forward to the show tomorrow. We're looking forward to wowing everybody and having some fun.
It's going
to
be great.
We'll shake them up.
Some of the people who are going to be on there, just so else when you are going to be coming in just for the day, let me tell you, is going to include Eric Tate, Steve Beam, Jeff Williams, John Allen, R. Paul Wilson, and Giovanni.
Hey.
When you do your speaking, do you incorporate magic much or at all or all the time?
Well, I have
different. Depend upon your...
It depends on the program and depends on the people. And, you know, there's always astonishment laced in what I do. Mm-hmm. But there are some programs I do that have very little magic or no magic. Mm-hmm. But there is amazement in it somehow, you know.
Yeah, well, there will always be, I guess, if you're involved.
It's going to have something amazing in it. I found ways to bring amazement to people without fooling them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do a lot of non-magic, all right, along the way. The things are astonishing to people, but don't necessarily fool them.
Right. Yeah. Now, for more details really on what Giovanni does, who he is, and some of his background and everything, I would recommend you go back and take a listen to one of the episodes because he and I had an in-depth conversation here a while back, too.
Yes. That was last year, back at the Magic Castle, wasn't it?
We were at the castle working. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. And, boy, time flies. And along that line, one of the things was your house, which was kind of built by Kerry Pollack, you know, as far as a lot of cool stuff that's in there.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to that episode
With Pepe. Pepe or Pedro?
No. Pepino.
Pepino.
Pepino the Mouse. Yeah. Pepino the Mouse. You'll have to listen to that episode. We talked in depth about Kerry and I's adventures building all that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. There's actually an issue in Magic Magazine about the house, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I forget which issue.
That was way back when, because Magic's been out of business for 20 years, I guess, or so. Yeah. So, from here, what is your what's your next big adventure?
Well, I'll be in Dubai and France and China this year. I'll be doing some international traveling for some of my corporate work.
Yeah.
I've got... Yeah, that's...
That's pretty big.
That's my, let's say, my international work. But I'll be working with some of my corporate clients. And
so when you're home, what are you doing to... Are you preparing stuff? I mean, you already got something. You probably have an idea what you're going to be doing. But, I mean, what do you do in your downtime? I mean, you play golf?
Golf. I hit the windmill all the time.
Yeah.
No, I've been into my fitness lately. Lost some weight. Really doing some foundational things lately.
Good.
Focused on family. You know, so that's good. And you know, I got 46 family members that live within 30 minutes of me.
Oh my gosh. Well, Leo, we talked last time. You were talking about this recipe that you didn't share. That was some sort of a. An Italian recipe of some sort. I forgot what it was, but you were saying it was...
I'm not teaching you the secret. Forget it. Just get it out of your mind.
It's just, I can't forget that. Well, that sure sounded good. But you have 46 relatives living around you.
We're a very fertile family, Scott.
I guess so.
We don't watch much TV.
Yeah. We got places to go, things to do, and it's all happening in the house, in that room. Well, listen, it's always good to see you. I'm glad...
Always a joy, Scott. Always a great... And come on down. If you can make it down to the convention, we're having a blast.
We are, and you should be a part of that. Come on down to the 50th. That'll be the final day of the final convention, and you can be one of the final registrants to show up and enjoy the last day. So come on down to Pigeon Forge here, Country Tonight, and you will have a great time. And see Gio tomorrow then, too.
All right.
I'll be
Yay
there.
Yay for us.
Okay. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Giovanni. Scotty out. We have finished the day two of this convention, and it's hard to believe there's only one more day of this convention, then it will all be over forever. It's hard to believe that that's going to be the case, but we just had a couple of great lectures. We finished up with a lecture by John Archer this afternoon, and then had a wonderful evening show. And I'm here right now with a friend of mine, formerly from Atlanta, now in Memphis. Please welcome Joe Turner. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
See, I'm fantastic. Now that I get to see you, man. So did you get here yesterday? You've been here for the whole thing?
I actually was back in Atlanta for work, and I got in during last night's show. So I snuck in the back and watched part of it, but I really got plugged into the convention today.
Yeah. Now, you've been coming to this, I assume, for a long number of years, too.
Out of the last 26, I've probably been at 22 or 23.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a lot of good memories. That's why I'd like to talk to people about some of their memories, since this is the last. What is it that might be something that sticks out that you remember about one that was...
Well, I remember this was pretty formative in my Magic career. I was just kind of starting to work in Magic when I started coming here, and I got encouraged by the folks in Atlanta to compete in the contests here. And so I remember... One year, the first year I competed in the close-up contest, I got second, and another guy from Atlanta, Paul Spinochle, got first. But the trophies were given out that year by the IBM president, was Jack Greenberg, who would just pass earlier this week.
Yes.
And so that's one thing that sticks out. And
Wait a minute. Jack Greenberg just passed earlier this week?
Yeah.
I had not heard this.
New. Yeah, it just came out. I think it was 2 days ago, maybe.
It's news to me.
Oh, I'm sorry to break that to you on the fly here, but so that...
I knew he had not been well.
He had been in some decline, but, you know, super smart guy and loved the IBM, certainly, and the Order of Merlin, especially.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so I did that, and the next year I won it. And so I got to meet a lot of people and plug in and learn a little bit about, well, in those days it was in Gatlinburg.
Correct.
Still in Gatlinburg.
Up until 2003, I think.
Is that when it switched over? Yeah. So those are some of my earliest memories in my magic.
Did you go to the one when in 93 we had the blizzard?
That was before I moved. Okay. That was before I was back in magic.
Okay.
But I've heard all the legends.
Of course.
Of the people that were snowed in those days. But I came regularly over the last quarter century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so an outstanding memory, remember a particular act or somebody you saw?
I remember particularly the contests. I would say probably the personality that I associate most with the convention isn't here. It was Ricky Boone, mm-hmm. from North Carolina. He was always here. He was always doing magic for people.
And the magic wheelchair.
And the magic wheelchair. Yeah. And so that's probably an outstanding personality. I remember that when it was in Gatlinburg, we used to stay in the Rocky Top Mountain Inn. Hotel across the street from the Civic Center, and it was owned by the people who wrote Rocky Top, the song.
Wow.
And the original sheet music that they wrote it on was in a frame behind the front desk. So all these are random.
Being the
memories.
Musician you are, that
well,
really
that stuck out. Yeah, I was impressed by that. And as far as the acts, I mean, everybody has been here. Mm-hmm. I remember Sean Farquhar early on being here. I remember Ice McDonald many times. I remember I used to spend a lot of time at this convention with a man named Bill Kress. Bill Kress was from Atlanta. He was a former professional magician. He studied with, the name escapes me at the moment, but he ended up owning a company that did draperies for theaters, draperies and upholstery. And so he came up and he was always really focused on how well people treated their birds and other animals. So we had a lot of conversations about the different animal acts and over the years. I've roomed with Rolando Santos at many of these conventions. My go-to roommate in the last 20 years or so. It's not even fair. I remember. You remember the Reed sisters?
Of course I do.
Jessica
from Columbus.
Shana and Rand and
Mandy.
I mean,
they were from Ohio. I don't remember where.
Dayton.
Dayton. Yes, I think they were Dayton. Yeah.
And back in those days, I can remember they would be here every year. They and their family would come. It's very family oriented. This whole convention.
Yeah.
It's people would come with generations of their family who were in magic for whatever reason, and so I remember just kind of taking early steps in magic with a lot of people who some I still see, some I don't, but I'm in touch with them. And I hate to see this go away.
Well, I do too. And I just was sitting next to someone, and I wish I would have turned on my recorder, who was saying, I don't know where we're going to go from here. Because I come every year, it doesn't matter who they get booked, because I come here to see my buddies. And so they were sitting next to each other, said, Doug over here, I see every year, and I come here to see him because it's only annually that I get to see him and spend time with him. And so I'm thinking about going maybe to Atlanta Harvest or maybe to Myrtle Beach to Magic on the Beach or to Trix or something that's out here. But
Atlanta Harvest was the first convention I ever went to because I was in Atlanta.
Sure.
Winter Carnival was the first convention I ever went to outside the city of Atlanta, and that was in those were in the late 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. Conventions in general, they're very expensive and hard to manage.
Tell me about it.
And everybody knows. Models, certain business models have life cycles, and
that's correct.
You know, the malls were the way it was working, and then
drive-in movies.
And so, so it may be that it's just
their time.
The 3 or 4 day convention, only certain ones will survive certain kinds of conditions or changes. I don't know. I don't want to make any predictions about like the demise of conventions, because some are doing very, very well.
Correct.
And will continue to. So it's not that there's no demand, but how you find and serve that need is changing. And I think we're seeing that in the way, some conventions that were annual have become biannual or less, like Atlanta Harvest of Magic is not every year. And others are probably making some adjustments as well. I'm grateful that IBM and the SAM and Magic Live and Magic Fest and others.
Yeah.
You know, so that's great. But I do think that just realistically there's going to be some changes to the way the convention landscape. But something will pop up. I mean, I've got an inkling of an idea to go into West Tennessee, mm-hmm. maybe on an alternating year,
mm-hmm.
And find something that could pull, probably not a 3-day, probably right. not a big stage thing, more like a fit in a small hotel
yeah,
kind
small
of thing.
Yeah.
And that may just be the trend for now. But things come back around.
They do, but people are looking for a place to go, and I think that they will find it. There will be an outlet of some place.
Well, and who knows, maybe I wouldn't put it past Ring 58 to have a pop-up reunion show once in a while, you know?
Right.
I mean, maybe they could have a special one-off
somewhere
reunion convention
yeah.
For the Winter Carnival as a celebratory thing, but regardless of how it plays out, it's 50 years. I've done half of it, and it's unforgettable. It's absolutely foundational to my experience of magic mm-hmm. as a community,
mm-hmm.
and I'll never forget it.
It has been. Let's go to just this evening, and we'll wrap up then real quickly about this evening show that was hosted by Ken Scott, who did just a masterful job then, as usual, with his MC bits and doing some things with Steve Bregazzi. Was kind of funny.
Oh, that always, yeah. always great. Well, they play the sort of the meanness card. They play mean against each other, and they play it very well. And
right.
They kind of take digs at each other, but it's funny. It's all in good humor. And even, you know, the real pro that can take a technical problem and turn it into a running gag, which
yeah.
he did with some of the microphone stuff, and not in a way that it takes shots at anybody, but just sort of a fun
sure.
way of acknowledging that this is something that's happening and we have to deal with it, and makes it fun. It just adds vibrancy to the show. So Ken is always
and the first guy who came out, was that Kevin King that was Mr. Charming or whatever?
Oh, I forgot the name, like the character name. But yeah, it was Kevin King
yeah,
that sort
it was
of
very
a,
funny.
A pre-show.
Charmington or something.
Yeah, Charmington. And he was like a stamp collector. And
yeah.
It was great. Stamp album
yeah.
Magic. But it with a like a rhyming patter and very sort of snooty character.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was funny. And then later we had, I thought, Don Bursell. Surprised
stole
the heck
the
out
show.
Of me. He did, as jugglers always do.
Always do. I had not seen him work before.
I was so surprised.
I only was aware of him by his book sales.
Exactly.
But it was great to see him. High energy, absolutely expert work with the kid volunteer that he brought up.
Mm-hmm.
He dealt with some adversity in his act and still came out, you know, beloved by the audience.
Right.
Just absolute, I don't know, just like the sweetheart, you know, America's
right.
sweetheart, but
right.
on a unicycle. And he was great.
And I'm trying to think who else before Michael Trix. So we had
Jeff Williams.
Jeff Williams, of course.
Jeff Williams opened the show, and with a real funny, did you pick this one, this one, this one, this one? And
that rope routine.
The rope routine was spectacular. It's an interesting thing that this one trick that he did, it seems like I've seen more tricks with that principle. This,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a Terry Leggero principle. I can't recall exactly. Like a countdown principle. I've seen a lot of tricks with that. Chris Capehart
yeah.
lectured on one and performed
They're
one.
All blank cards except the one that you said.
Well,
that was
well
this card.
Yeah, but the yeah. way that you get to those cards, they've been using a particular principle.
Yeah.
And I've just been like, man, it's like the popular, it's the popular method. This
popular
year.
Force. Yeah.
It's awesome. And so Jeff Williams, and then Ken was on, Jeff Bursell. Ken did his spot, the Fantasy Magician, and he always kills with that. Then John Allen. Oh, John Allen from
right.
England,
UK.
UK, and you know, he opened.
What do you think of his any card, any number?
That was great. The cards are marked with numbers,
yeah.
so it's
yeah.
like, what are you going to? You can cut them. The numbers are on the back of the card. That's a fooler.
Yeah, that's a great.
That's
one.
A great trick.
Yeah.
And
but he'd open with like silent,
the
different silent variation
treatment
treat,
thing.
Silent thing.
Yeah, that was great. And he has the really giant one, and that was. When he came out, you kind of knew that's where he was going. And then he did the cards across. Had a different way of getting into it
mm-hmm.
than I've often seen. I thought that was very clever and original. And he presented it differently than the normal invisible transfer
mm-hmm.
as the premise. He had a different premise. I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But he had the fact that he had kind of a different premise for that trick, I enjoyed the creativity in that. And then Michael Trix just rocked out.
Rocked the house.
The house and came out and doves and smoke and fire and canes and silks and streamers and had a kid and just all the stuff. All the, it was, you know, and just with all the, you know, he has rock and roll all night and party every day and all the Kiss and the other stuff going on in the background. How does he move like that? He said he's been doing like 300 shows a year for 26 years or something.
Yeah.
And I was just exhausted, you know, after the first two numbers, just listening to that pulsating rock music. And he's just going.
So much energy.
And it was, but he, the crowd loved him and it was.
It really kind of came full circle because we began as, with a pre-show of a banjo player. And
yeah, the bluegrassy thing.
Yeah, bluegrass. It was great. And then finished with hard rock stuff.
It was great. So yeah, the musical landscape was well represented. Represented tonight. That was fun. Great show. And the party is.
We're finishing up then right now. The party is Steve Grudowski's place. Yeah. And he's got all of the coin-operated machinery out in his warehouse.
Yeah, it's impossible to describe
it really is.
In words. You have to see it to believe what this guy has assembled here historically. And the fact that so many of them are still working or mm-hmm. have been restored to being operational, it's spectacular.
It is fun. They're fun to see, and they're all very cool. And, in fact, I think they're getting ready to give a tour here right now.
That we better go.
We better. So, listen, thanks very much. That was kind of a quick wrap of day number two of what's been going on. Thank you, Joe Turner. I appreciate it. So, the Magic Word Podcast. We'll see you guys in tomorrow, and it's a good time to come. If you're anywhere in the area or nearby, fly here. We've still got a great day lined up for you tomorrow on Saturday, the final day of the 50th annual Winter Carnival of Magic. This is Scotty out.